radio stations in Montreal were not always the same as today. In the beginning, they actually had to share the frequencies, specifically between 1922 and 1929. So the listeners could well hear French talk at 6 p.m. and then English at 8 p.m. And often there were even breaks in between. This was in part due to the fact that stations in the United States were more numerous and more powerful. Those invading Canadian territory and leaving few frequencies available to Canadian stations. Although broadcasters were trying to please adults with operas, classical music, and so on, there was also from the beginning already a section for the children, specifically short before it was time to go to bed with bedtime stories. And from the beginning, radio broadcasting meant to be able to hear the world and to be entertained in various fields, not just with music. There is an Eaton catalog from 1926-1927 that is actually quite nice as a visual aspect for the different areas that radio was covering, because it shows the radio as a means to listen to sports, as a way to get music into your house and to dance to the music. It was also already giving you the daily weather forecasts, politics, and so on. In the early 1920s, David Sarnoff, who was actually the first president of the Radio Corporation of America in the United States, had proposed to manufacture a simple receiver, which he called a music box, so that every person could actually be able to listen to radio because they were able to afford it.
Yeah, so we see that from the beginning, music was seen as an important part of the content that radio could help distribute. At the beginning in the 1920s, most radio broadcasting stations were equipped with grand pianos. This would be both to accompany singers or artists that would come perform in the studios. For example, Mrs. Luton, who is the singer that was featured in the historic XWA broadcast between Montreal and Ottawa. But then they could also have the piano players playing by themselves. As well, CKAC had an electrical organ installed in their studio as early as 1923. And then stations would also have their own orchestras in studio that would play music, like the Dow Brewery Orchestra. On many occasions, radio stations would broadcast concerts from ballrooms or from different places. For example, in 1927, CFCF was at the top of the Mount Royal Hotel, where they could easily broadcast dancing of evenings that were happening there. And CKAC was often at Hotel Queen near Dominion Square to do a similar broadcast.
It's quite funny because radio broadcasting started with recorded records that they played just to fill the air so that you knew that there was actually a station. But later on, we have in our collection at the museum, a lot of records that show specifically to not be allowed to play on radio. So they have radio broadcasting prohibited signs. Mariana, can you talk a little bit about that and tell us why?
Yeah, so at the beginning in the 1930s, manufacturers of records were fearing that the sales of discs would plummet now that the radio was there as a way of consuming the same content and, you know, providing listeners with their favorite songs. It was true at the beginning, but then it turned out that radio was a great way to publicize new recordings and new artists, and radio helped promote record sales, actually. Particularly after the Second World War, with the introduction of new formats like the discs that turn at 33 or 45 revolutions per second.
Yeah, that was a new thing after the Second World War. Before, we had always records that turned much faster at 78. But during the war, the raw material for those old records, which were made of shellac, was unavailable, and experimentations with vinyl turned out to give much better results than the old ones. And you could actually then make records with a microgroove that could run much longer, turning out the long playing records that were played at 33 rounds a minute. And RCA actually brought out their own format of smaller records that were the 45 that played only one song.
Yep. So to tell us more about music programming and specifically, I reached out to Andy Stuhl, who is a PhD student at McGill. He's in the Communication Studies department. He focuses on researching the history of automation in radio. And he came into the studio and we recorded an interview to talk specifically about how formats like Top 40 radio stations began. And then about the technology and policies that shaped radio in the way we know it now. So let's give a listen to this interview.
Yeah, Marianne is today alone in the studio. That is a scary moment.
Give me 1 second,
but she will
guys.
Find it.
No, it's not this. Oh.
So? Any
it's
advancement?
Not happy.
Andy, are you out there? Andy, talk. Maybe we can just put first the music in. Do you think?
Yeah, let's try that. So in Andy's interview, he talks about Guy Lombardo, which was a Canadian orchestra conductor of these orchestras that we play in the studio. While we figure out why this interview is not working, let's listen to that song first. Everything is not working.
So all right. talk.
No, let me try this again. 1 second.
There are a lot of stuff here at CKUT is upstairs and we are trying to do everything ourselves, which is certainly a learning experience. And this is what CKUT is good for and is doing an amazing job, just giving us all the responsibility and confidence that we will handle it. So Mariana is pushing levers up and down. And by the way, we are speaking here on microphones that are all covered by Lysol. That is actually a funny coincidence because radio later on, or radio in general, is often really heavily promoted by kind of hygienic projects, hygienic products like toothpaste or soap. And later on, we will know why or what it meant. So we are still trying to get this interview. And Tamara is now in the studio looking why things are not happening the way they should happen. So there is the magic button. Maybe? Oh, somebody pulled out
the wire.
That may have been me kicking with my feet. You think it's
should
working
I try now?
Now? Wait a minute.
A life.
Yes.
Yes. Wow. Thank you, Tamara.
Okay. Without more further ado, let's listen to Andy Steele's interview.
Top 40 format.